Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the text. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. The disciples are all in one place, possibly the upper room, we aren't told for sure, and they are waiting, just like Jesus instructed them to do. And the Holy Spirit comes and changes everything. Up until that point, the disciples were more than a little confused as to what they were supposed to be doing. If you remember back to the time immediately before and after Easter, the disciples were a lot confused. Peter was telling Jesus that there is no way that Jesus can be handed over to the chief priests and be crucified. May this never be, Lord, he says. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. And when these soldiers come to the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples scatter and hide, and Peter three times denies even knowing Jesus. They don't even show up to bury the body. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea take care of that. The morning of the resurrection, the disciples refuse to believe the words of the women who came from the empty tomb. Peter and John run to the empty tomb, see that it's empty, still don't know what to think about it. Thomas absolutely will not believe until, as he says, not only I see it with my eyes, but I put my finger into the mark of the nail in his hands and my hand into his side. Until then, I will never believe. After that, the disciples, even though Jesus has appeared to them several times, still don't know what to do next. A group of them, seven of them, go up to Galilee. They go fishing. This is what they knew before Jesus had called them to be fishers of men. And they still aren't sure what they're supposed to be doing now that they are fishers of men. And Jesus meets them on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a place that we are going to be spending all this next week with Vacation Bible School. And he eats with them. And Jesus restores Peter. Three times he says, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Then 40 days after Easter, Jesus ascends into heaven. But first he tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is coming. And he comes. And there is a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And these fearful, hiding, denying, doubting disciples suddenly become bold preachers in all the languages of the people. Everything changes when the Holy Spirit comes. It was true for them. It's true for us. It's what we confess in Luther's Small Catechism. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. For you and me, everything changed when the Holy Spirit came to us. This doesn't mean that we were able to speak in a multitude of languages on the day of our baptism. In fact, I couldn't speak in any language on the day of my baptism. And for most of you, that's probably true also. The ability to speak miraculously was unique to the days of the apostles. St. Paul says that the gift of tongues will cease, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and they have ceased. And through their preaching, the preaching of the disciples, more so through the power of the Holy Spirit, as he is the one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, again from Luther's Small Catechism, the Holy Spirit brings 3,000 people to faith that day of Pentecost, and they are baptized by the apostles. And from there, the apostles go out throughout Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. In fact, Thomas goes all the way to India, and there he is killed by Hindu priests because he will not stop confessing that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The work of the Holy Spirit is evident after he comes to the apostles. It does beg the question, what about the Old Testament people? Did they have the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, they did. Now, the Holy Spirit does not reveal himself and manifest himself as he does in New Testament times, but he certainly is there. God is and always has been triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're going to spend our time next week, especially as it's the Sunday of the Holy Trinity, focused on that. But the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son, they are all eternal, co-equal, as we confess in the creeds. And the Holy Spirit has always been working in the world. Even at creation, in Genesis 1, he was hovering over the waters. He is the one who has and always has created faith. One of the clear testaments of the presence of the Holy Spirit in regard to faith is what I mentioned 2 weeks ago, and we will sing as our offertory following the sermon. David's words from Psalm 51. Following, you know, this is David's psalm of confession following the whole Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite incident. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. David had been brought low by the words of the prophet Nathan, who had shown him his sin, said, "Why did you despise the word of God?" That was the real problem with David's sin. And David was not feeling very full of the Spirit that day. Yet David understood the truth that God is a God who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, merciful, gracious, and he had not taken his Holy Spirit from David. David's sin was absolutely high-handed and in your face to God, but God did not take his Holy Spirit from him. And we recognize that it's the Holy Spirit that changes everything. Why or how would be the better question? Well, because the Holy Spirit works through means. We call them the means of grace. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts. We confess this in the catechism. Very few people have received direct revelation from the Spirit of God, like Eldad and Medad from our Old Testament reading. And for them, it was a one-time event. Wanting the Spirit of God to rain down upon us from heaven, that's not how God functions. Even for King David, the Spirit worked through means. David was circumcised on the eighth day of his life into the covenant with Abraham, which was the covenant of promise. And that circumcision was a foreshadowing of the adoption by God through the waters of baptism that we have received. God had prescribed that atonement would be made for his people through the cutting open of the flesh and the pouring out of the blood of animals. And those animal sacrifices brought forgiveness to the people, not because of the animals in and of themselves, but because, again, it was a foreshadowing of the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But God always works through means, and so he had them actually sacrifice animals. And somehow, through that sacrifice, the forgiveness of sins happened. through the sacrifice of Christ, the forgiveness of sin happens, and His flesh and blood now comes to you through the means of bread and wine. God has always worked through real things and wanted to come to you in a real, tangible way. He does not want to be off in a distance somewhere, trapped up in heaven. He comes to you here and now. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He has enlightened you with His gifts, which includes washing you in the Word of God, joined with that water. And don't forget about the Word of God that you hear and see, the Word that comes through your ears and your eyes. The Holy Spirit uses these means also. The spoken Word, the written Word. Nathan the prophet speaking the words of absolution to King David. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. He pronounced to him the forgiveness of sin. Your pastor speaking the absolution to you, as we do each time we gather together. That's the work of the Holy Spirit for you. Christ told his apostles, when you loose someone, free someone from their sins, they are loosed, freed in heaven also. And those words are spoken to you in the here and now. It's not just something up far off, in a distance, up in the heavens. It happens here. Real words come to you from God. And He works through means, ordinary people like me. When the Holy Spirit comes, He changes everything. Look at your own life. When the Holy Spirit comes to you and washes you and you are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches you the very Word of God which bears that name, and He feeds you with the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, which is, as Paul says in Philippians 2, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We see the Holy Spirit at work. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He changes everything. Because as Peter proclaimed there in his great sermon on Pentecost, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is good news for us all. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.